you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope it encourages you to live and love like Jesus.
Almighty God, we give thanks for your word. I pray that these words might be your words. This message a demonstration of your spirit's power and nothing of my own. It's in Christ's name. Amen. We began the Advent season this Sunday, so we began a new sermon series. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be exploring together the star, a journey to Christmas. And in those weeks, we'll explore together some of the things that we receive in the Christ child. It's the same things that we light candles for all month long. Today, hope. Later this month, peace, joy, and love. All of these things born to us in a newborn baby in a manger. For that is the majesty and the mystery of Advent and of Christmas. So as we prepare to explore together today the hope that comes in the Christ child, we're going to look at 1 Peter. If you have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your phone, I'd invite you to open up to 1 Peter with me. We're going to be in chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 8 and 9, and then I'm going to read verses 13 through 16. If you don't have a Bible with you, they'll be on the screen behind me, and you're invited to follow along there. Let us hear this morning what God's word through 1 Peter has to say to us about hope. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. What do a small child the night before Christmas, an engaged couple the night before their wedding, and parents-to-be the night before the birth of their new baby have in common? Yes. Eugene Boring, a New Testament scholar, calls it hope. Hope. In each of these scenarios, the people that we see in our mind's eye are hope-filled. The small child at Christmas. Now, you may remember thinking and feeling this yourself, or you may have children or children in your lives that you can watch over this season. Man, the anticipation, the waiting as all the gifts get wrapped and put under the tree, and there's the one with my name on it. And that night before Christmas, it's not a wish that maybe I'm going to receive a gift tomorrow. It's, I know tomorrow I'm going to receive this gift. That is hope. It's not wishing, but living into a not yet reality. The same thing for the soon-to-be newlyweds. They have already likely chosen a place to live as a married couple, hopefully talked about financial responsibilities. They've planned a honeymoon, perhaps. You see, they're already living into the reality of married life before it actually comes. Because they're not wishing for it. They're hopeful. They know. They anticipate. It will be here. Soon-to-be parents have a bag packed, ready to go to the hospital. They know where they're going. They have a plan. They've probably already made space in their home, either in a nursery or in their own bedroom, where they'll bring this new baby home. Living into a not-yet reality, that's what hope is. It's not wishing, but knowing, anticipating the thing that we know is coming. And so it is with our hope in Christ. We anticipate a thing that we know is coming. Because to be Christ followers and to be grounded in the hope that God is with us, that our salvation is given to us in Christ, that God's grace is extended to us, is to know two things. One, that has already happened. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. It's to know that Christ has died and risen, and to know that Christ will come again. It's living into a not yet reality, but not just based on nothing. Right? The hope is grounded in the thing that has already changed. Christ has already come. And so in Advent, we look forward to and prepare ourselves for celebrating once again that our salvation is here and available to us in the form of the Christ child, the newborn king. And we're hopeful about it, not wishing for it, but knowing what has already happened and what we are promised will come again. That doesn't mean that it's always easy. That doesn't mean that our lives don't have struggle in the midst of the waiting. Certainly, Peter's audience was in struggle. This letter is full of hope. It is a call to hope. Peter reminds again and again these early Christians, you know that Christ has died and risen. You know that your salvation is available to you, that it's here and now, that God is with us. So be hopeful. Rest in that hope. Find strength in that hope. They're being persecuted socially. They're harassed. They're ostracized for their faith. The letter reveals to us that they are a community in struggle. And yet, Peter knows, even in the midst of that, they can cling to their hope. The holiday season, I recognize, is not happy for everyone. For many people, it brings about grief, sadness, guilt, shame. For some people, it brings a combination that it's really kind of hard to hold in tension. There's this sense of merry, joyous celebration and this sense of grief or sadness or someone's missing or I'm disconnected. And how we hold those two things together can be really challenging through the Advent season and through Christmas. If you are one of those people, I want you to know this morning that the hope in Christ, the hope in the Christ will come again, is that one day there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more tears, no more evil in the world. That Christ is alive and the victory is God's. That it's won and that death does not have the last word. But that God's love in the life of Christ says the final thing. And so if you are enduring a difficult time, my prayer this morning is that you hear a word of hope that you might cling to, that might help you then to find this joy that Peter talks about. This hope is worth a lot. Here's what Peter says. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And then hear this, rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. I want indescribable and glorious joy in my life every single day. And Peter is saying, I know it is tough and you are in the midst of struggle and pain, but your hope offers you a joy. And as I thought of that joy, I thought, what does that look like? Indescribable and glorious joy that is there even in the midst of struggle and pain. I thought of peace that passes understanding. I thought of Paul and Silas. In Acts chapter 16, we read a story about Paul and Silas who were going around and ministering to people, spreading the good news, witnessing to the Gentiles about Jesus, sharing the Christmas story, the Easter story. And along the way, there was a girl who was following along behind them and shouting things about them and who they were. And she was a slave girl according to the scripture. And Paul, I don't know if it was frustration or concern for his own well-being or what, concern for her well-being, but he calls the spirit out of her. The spirit of divination that's causing her to say these things. And when he does that, her owners then are fearing they can't get money from her anymore because she can't go out and predict things and use this spirit of divination to make the money. And so they get really mad at Paul and Silas. They take him to court. They say, these Jews are here and they're causing a lot of trouble and they're sharing this crazy message about this Jesus person, and we need you to take care of them because they're getting in the way of what we're doing and our livelihood. And so they do. And they assault Paul and Silas, and then they lock them up in the jail, and they tell the jailer to put them in the most secure place that he can. So he puts them in the center of the prison, in the darkest cell, shackled to the floor. There they are. Man, I can't imagine a greater struggle. And do you know what it says they did? They sang hymns praising our God from the darkness. And then I think the more beautiful piece it says, and the prisoners listened to them. That's indescribable joy. That is centered and grounded in the hope we have in Christ. That Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. But it's not only joy that surfaces when we're in struggle and pain. It's also joy that's present when we are merry and happy and celebrating together. So I'm thinking in scripture, who does that look like? And I thought, well, here we are in Advent. Who better to talk about than Mary and Elizabeth? Here's Elizabeth, a woman well past childbearing age who has now a son in her womb. And her relative, Mary, a young unwed mother shows up at her door. And when she encounters Mary, she and the child in her womb, who would be John the Baptist, both know that they are in the presence of the Christ child. It says that the baby in Elizabeth's womb leapt with joy at knowing that the newborn king was in his midst. Mary goes on to sing the Magnificat, one of the most beautiful pieces of hymnody we have in our scripture, Mary's song in Luke. You can read it, chapter 1. She sings praises to her God for this, the Messiah, this child she's going to bring into the world. So you see, this indescribable, glorious joy is with us in times of struggle and with us in times of celebration. It helps us to cling to our Christ when we don't know what else to do, and it lifts us up and raises our voices when we're in the midst of the greatest days. But it's not just about hope and joy. What do I do with all of that? What do I do with all of this hope and joy? Well, here's what Peter says. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Prepare your minds for action. This whole book of our scripture is about action. There are 35 commands, specific commands, in 5 chapters. 35. Peter wants us to do something. He says, get ready, Christ is coming. In the Greek, when you read that verse 13, it actually says, gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? Well, in ancient church times, they would wear garments that were very long and would drag the ground, and they would wear a belt around their waist. And when they got ready for a journey, they would roll up those outer garments and belt them so that they would be able to travel by foot. And so Peter says, roll up your outer garments and belt them of your mind. Get ready to do something. Now, what is that thing? What am I getting ready for? Christ is coming. What am I getting ready for? Well, he goes on to tell us. He who called you is holy. Be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Be holy yourselves in all your conduct. Who feels like that's a tall order? Yep. Me too. First of all, let's talk about what holy means. Peter's talking about Old Testament understanding of holy. And what that is, if you read Leviticus, there's clean things. That's just normal things. People are clean, normal, functioning the way we're supposed to. There's unclean things. That's either things that aren't functioning the way they're supposed to, or it might be sick people that we need to keep an eye on, we need to care for. And then there's holy things. And holy things are things or people who have been set apart especially for the worship of God. Set apart especially for the worship of God. That would be the altar, the tabernacle, eventually the temple, the priests themselves. Holy, set apart for the worship of God. And so here Peter says to us, we shall be set apart for the worship of God in all of our conduct. Now, I know that the Holy Spirit is working on me, moving me toward total sanctification, at which point I will be holy, set apart for the worship of God in all of my conduct. But I also know that I can help open myself for the Holy Spirit's work, be available to move deeper in my faith journey, to roll up my outer garments and belt them and get ready, for Christ is coming. We, the church, that's our action to bring about heaven on earth by the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God. We get to participate in that. Now, let's be clear. We don't make ourselves holy. God did that in Christ. Christ offered us salvation. Christ offered us this invitation of grace and mercy and this invitation to holy living. When we live out our faith journey, we simply live into the thing that God has already made us. I'm going to say that again. When we live out our faith journey, we live into the thing that God has already made us. This holy living in all of our conduct. Okay, so if that seems kind of monstrous, all of our conduct, I have an invitation for you and for me. This is what I think we can do. We can use this Advent season, this time of active waiting and preparation, to pick one spiritual practice we aren't yet doing and start doing it every day, a daily practice that's going to help us to stay grounded in the hope we have in Christ, what the Christmas message is about, connected to the indescribable joy that comes when we are grounded in that hope, and then becoming expressions of the holy things that God has made us. So this might be that you would commit to mercy for Advent, and you're going to find ways each and every day to show mercy and grace to other people, and then maybe keep a journal each night of how you've done that, how the Holy Spirit has prompted you, moved you, how that's changed you. Maybe you would choose to read a gospel from start to finish through the weeks of Advent to be reminded of how the Christ story unfolds. Perhaps you might practice centering prayer. Centering prayer is a prayer where we don't do much talking at all. We do a lot of listening. There are some great books and websites that can help you with that, and I am happy to point you in their direction if that's something that interests you. Maybe you will commit to come to Advent worship all from now, every Sunday until Christmas Eve, and to bring someone who does not have a church home with you. To invite another to come and experience this gospel, because just maybe they desperately need that hope. Maybe it's not a merry time for them. But maybe here, amongst God's people and God's presence, they might get a glimpse of what has happened and what we look forward to coming. Because when we practice spiritual discipline, we stay grounded in that hope. And then when the struggles hit and the difficult times come, it's much easier to cling to Christ than to search for Christ. And so if we're grounded in the hope when those things hit us, and often as if they came from nowhere, it's much easier to cling to Christ than to go searching for Christ. I'm going to share a story with you about this very thing in my life. About a time where my practice of spiritual disciplines had kept me grounded in my hope, and then when life tried to knock me off my feet, I had something to cling to. I, in 2012, was at a regular physical, and my doctor found a tumor in my neck. I was in my late 20s with two small children, and they were talking about the potential cancer diagnosis. Thyroid cancer was the possibility. We did a lot of tests. They decided that the best course of action, or we decided with the doctors, that the best course of action was going to be to go ahead with the surgery. They were going to have to take the tumor out anyway. It was too large to leave. They would do the test on the tumor in the OR while I was open to see if it was malignant or benign. And then if it was malignant, they would take out the rest of my thyroid. And then I would have some radiation treatment. Now, here's what I want you to know about thyroid cancer. If you have to pull a cancer out of the cancer hat, it's the best one to pull. It is. I did not have to go through weeks of chemo. I did not have to have severe radiation. But I didn't know going into the surgery whether I had cancer or not. That was still a mystery. We had joined the church 2 years prior to that. And for 2 years, I have been learning what about holy living and doing these spiritual disciplines. And I am telling you, I don't know how I would have been different, but I know I would have been different on that day had I not had the hope that comes in Christ. The morning of my surgery, my phone was blowing up with texts. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. You know what kind of support and encouragement that is? It is marvelous. And here's what I knew. I was going to be okay, whatever happened. Whether there was cancer or not, whether I had a thyroid when I woke up or I didn't, if I died on the operating table, it was going to be okay. Because my God had taught me that Christ has died and Christ has risen and Christ will come again. And so I think this is the time in my life when I have felt closest to Paul and Silas as I probably ever will. For here's what I want you to know about hope and clinging to Christ in times of struggle, at least for me. The last thing I remember as they wheeled me into the operating room before they knocked me out was singing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, oh, my soul, worship your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name. Get ready. Christ is coming. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we give thanks for your word and for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. God, I pray that in times of struggle and pain and sorrow, that hope might be the thing we cling to. That we might stay centered in the truth that indeed Christ will come again. And God, in times of joy, I pray that we are lifted even higher as we stand proud to be your people and grateful for all you have done for us. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. You are invited to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either in our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in the bridge, which offers contemporary music in a relaxed, rejuvenating environment. For more information, visit our website at mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.